Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Best segment of the week is whenever I can get Michael Barkan to join me, my friend. Welcome.
Stop it. Although that was just like I wrote it, so thank you.
I almost mispronounced one word. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, hey, I do that every night. More than one, baby. Steve Jones, what's up?
Michael, they win in two straight. They don't play again until Saturday. Yeah. Could Rob Thompson have asked for a better scenario with his starting pitching and the way it now sets up?
Yes and no. I mean, he's probably going to go. Last night he was talking about he did not know who he was going to go with to start. So, have you heard what he has announced?
Do not know what he wants to do, but you would think in a series like that, he's still got Wheeler and Nola, and it may not be 1-2, but it could be 2-3.
Yeah. All right. I thought you were aware of something I wasn't. So
no.
I would think it's going to be Suarez on Saturday, and then you get back to Wheeler and Nola, and I don't think it can set up any better, Steve. I think these two guys, what they did the past two nights is just simply sensational. And I would defy the Braves to put two pitchers up against the Phillies, including Spencer Strider, that can do what those two guys did last night consecutively in the night before in Zach Wheeler. They, there are things sometimes that you have to tweak in sports, and both Wheeler and Aaron Nola said that there was something in their deliveries, something in the way they set up on the mound that was giving them problem with their control, and they worked on it, and it took them a while. One, you got to discover it. Two, then you got to work on it. Three, then you've got to execute it during a game. And Wheeler said, you know, it was the way it affected the way I was gripping and releasing the baseball. And Nola was something where he was pitching, and his the way he set up and the motion across his body, it was affecting his control. And Aaron Nola is a Cy Young caliber pitcher when he's going well. And that wasn't the case this year. Last year, he was fourth in the Cy Young balloting. The year before, again, he struggled. So hopefully he's got all that behind him now, and I think he's a different pitcher in the postseason. So we'll see. Same with Wheeler.
Yeah. Not only that, but how deep they went allowed Rob to use the bullpen and didn't have to overtax it to do it.
And I think that's the most important thing. Your starters do what starters do. They go six or seven innings in the case of the last two nights, and then you've got your choice. You pick your poison. Do you want Alvarado? Do you want Soto? Do you want Kimbrel? They've got many ways that they can go, and I'll be interested to see how the roster sets up for the Braves series, Steve, because Michael Lorenzen, who they traded for and gave up some prospects for, Michael Lorenzen, the one who pitched a no-hitter in his first outing with the Phillies, he has really, really struggled, and they left him off the roster for the Marlins series, and we'll see whether or not he goes back on for the NLDS. And he might, and then we'll see what happens, whether or not he gets used.
You know, the fans really love, obviously, Harper, but they really love Stott and Bone, their homegrown kids. Started out at Williamsport after getting drafted and worked their way through. They both come up big, and, of course, the Grand Slam last night. What's been your thought on the two of those, especially Stott moving to second base the way he has?
I love both of them. You know, they called them the daycare last year. And I said, it's not the daycare anymore. They're in preschool already. Come on, let's advance them through the schooling ranks. And I think both of them, when you're a great player, I think water seeks its level, and these guys have done just that. With regard to Stott, they bring Trey Turner in here. Stott moves to second base, and he had a record for most chances without an error in Philly's franchise history at the beginning of the season. He's got a great glove at second base, and he has the propensity, as we saw last night, to hit a ball when you don't expect it. And I wouldn't call him a power hitter, but then there it went. It was absolutely beautiful. But guess what happened last night? I have to tell you this story. I'm sitting in the seats with my family, and Ricky Pitalico and Ben Davis are up in the press box. Ben's watching in the radio booth, and Ricky's watching in the press box. And Ruben Amaro Jr. is with his family, and we had to go back to the Wells Fargo Center where our studio is for the postgame show.
Yeah.
So Ben sends us a message in Spanish about when we're supposed to meet at the car. It was after the sixth inning. And I looked down to answer Ben's message, and I don't speak Spanish, mind you, Steve Jones. And Bryce is starting to home run out of the ballpark. And I'm looking at my phone, and everybody's screaming. And I'm getting smacked by my wife, my daughter, my son, my sister was there. And they're all I looked up just as the ball landed in the seat. So do not put your phone away, people, including you, Michael. What an idiot. Anyway, so I think Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm have come of age as quickly as you can. You know, certainly I would say as quickly as Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins came of age. And by that I mean the comfort level of being a major leaguer, the comfort level of having the responsibility of being a starter. And with respect to Bohm, you can play him at third or you can play him at first. I'd rather see him at third. But you know, you'll recall last year he made, I don't know, what was it, 3 errors in 1 inning?
Yeah.
And he said, I hate this bleeping place. And the camera caught him saying it. Everybody reads lips. And after the game, he apologized for it. And it was like no harm, no foul. The next game, he steps to the plate, standing ovation. And that's how we roll in Philadelphia, as you know. So, you know, I think Bohm, I was wondering whether or not they should have flip-flopped Bohm and Real Muto in the lineup for protection for Harper, because you'll recall Bohm batted third in the last two nights, and Real Muto batted fifth. And Harper was on base, but he did not have the Harper nights that we have recalled. But what the heck, when you got Bohm and Real Muto smacking the ball around, it'll be fine, thank you very much. They're going to have to pitch to Harper, and I think it's just a matter of a game or two before he breaks out I wouldn't even call it a slump, before he starts hitting the ball around. So, I love those two guys.
You and I both know he's one swing away, and that's Bryce Harper. There are teams out there, because of how the Braves played this season, that would be intimidated by the Braves. The lineup, the five guys with the 30-plus home runs, Spencer Strider, you mentioned, except the team they're going to play. This team has no fear of the Braves at all. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. They have no fear of the Braves. That doesn't mean they'll win this series. I'm going to pick them to win this series. I obviously want them to win the series. But when you match up the Braves stars and superstars with the Philly stars and superstars, to me, the only question is whether or not if Spencer Strider's on his game, and think about it, it's going to be Strider against Ranger Suarez. If Strider is on his game, can the Phillies overcome that and manage to score runs? And what I saw last night, and I said it on the postgame show on NBC Sports Philadelphia, I thought that was a statement game, statement win, and series by the Phillies, because This guy, Braxton Garrett, this left-hander, this kid who was in his first postseason game, for the first 3 or 4 innings, he was pitching lights out. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, how are they going to solve this kid? And he had some success against the Phillies previously this season. They faced each other 13 times. And with the Phillies winning what? I think the Phillies won 4 or 5 games from the Braves this season. So Atlanta had it all over them. But I thought, can they solve this kid? And the answer was, of course, yes. And so that's my wonder about Spencer Strider. And to me, he's the difference. And it's whether or not the Phillies lineup can get some runs scored against Spencer Strider. And he's going to be pitching at home. Last year when they got to him, he was banged up. And I think that's going to be a real big question to be answered for this series. And remember, it's best of 5. It's not best of 7.
Right.
And I hope the Phillies take it. I'm going to pick them to win it in 4. I hope it at least goes to 5, because I think it's going to be a slugfest. But when you look at the Braves superstars, Austin Riley and Matt Olson and Ronald Acuna Jr., who Ben Davis called it, for him, best player in baseball, and Orlando Arcia, and what they've got. They're unbelievable, this team. They really are. But the Phillies are unintimidated, Steve, and I think that's where you start.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I mean, they will go in and go, yes, so? Okay, let's play ball.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I have to ask you one quick Eagles question before I let you go. And it's, you know, like, they're off to an undefeated start. What do you think of the level of play, though, from the Eagles to this point?
I think the level of play has been inconsistent. And I'm hoping that they start to smooth it out, certainly this weekend against the Rams. It remains to be seen whether the Rams are going to get Cooper Kupp back, their outstanding wide receiver. He practiced yesterday, and he's been on the shelf for the last little while. We'll see whether or not they get him back. I think the pass rush for the Eagles is key because the secondary has struggled. You know, and Buddy Ryan used to say, you can take the best cornerback, the best safety in the world, and if the quarterback has time to pass and the receivers can run around, there's no cornerback in the world that can stop a wide receiver. Right. So the pass rush has to get there, and I think that's developing. When these guys are on, my goodness, they are beasts, aren't they? They're on both Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and Hassan Reddick, and they can get to a quarterback. I just think they have to be consistent. And for Jalen Hurts, you know, I don't know if it's anything that's still developing that's got to be smoothed out between him and Brian Johnson, who is the offensive coordinator of the Eagles, and someone who has known Jalen Hurts since he's been a kid. Brian Johnson coached for Jalen Hurts' dad back in Texas, so they've known each other for a long time. And I thought Jalen Hurts, he had an unbelievable second half. His first half was sloppy. His first half was inconsistent. So I think that he's got to be able to smooth that out. Also, Steve, have you noticed, sometimes I just think he underthrows guys a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think he should get rid of the ball faster than he does. Maybe that's a nitpick. I don't know. But when you see his second half, you'd say, Michael, are you out of your mind? But, you know, you got to play consistently start to finish. I think they're going to be okay. I think it's a long season, and I still think that you're talking about a 12 or 13 win Eagles team when it's all said and done.
I'll ad-lib this one. You're the best, and I mean it. Thanks so much, Michael. Really appreciate you.
No, you're the best, and I mean it. Anytime, Steve. Anytime.
Thanks, Michael.
You know that. Thanks, buddy.